Now let's proceed with the eye's faculties. The technological breakthroughs in the field of medicine have today revealed what a great miracle the human eye is. Engineers and scientists adapted everything they knew about the eye to technology. The perfect structure of the eye currently serves as a model for many technical devices like cameras and video recorders. As researchers acquire a deeper understanding of the operations in the eye, they design better optical devices. Despite all these technological developments, however, no device, including computer-supported cameras, can compete with the eye or even get close to it. To have a better understanding of the miraculous working system in the eye, we can analyze the camera, one of the equipments for which the eye served as a model. Let's assume that this camera is equipped with the most recent technological features. To see that the eye is incomparably superior to the highest technology in terms of its structure and function, let's compare some features of the eye and the camera. The first thing to be done before taking a photograph is to adjust the focus. Likewise, in the seeing process, the lens of the eye has to adjust itself to the distance of the object we want to see, so that the images of objects around us fall clearly on the light-sensitive layer. This is manually handled in basic cameras. In more developed models, it is automatic. Equipment used for specific purposes like microscopes and telescopes also requires focal adjustment. In all cases, this operation takes some time. However, the human eye does this fine tuning at every moment, all by itself, and in a very short time. Moreover, the method it employs is so superior that it can never be imitated. The lens of the eye makes the image fall on the retina non-stop, with the help of the muscles surrounding it. This lens, which has a pliable structure and can easily change its shape, keeps the point light falls on constant by becoming thicker or thinner as needed. What would happen if the eye did not have this faculty? If this adjustment were not carried out spontaneously in the eye, if, for instance, we could only focus on the spot we were looking at with the help of a button, we would have to exert a continuous and special effort in order to see. Our eyesight would swing between blurred and sharp images. Seeing an object would take considerable time, thereby making life as slow as one might imagine. However, when we want to see an object at certain distance, we never bother ourselves with its distance, the adjustment value of the lens, and many similar other optical operations. We only need to look at it to see it clearly. The rest of the operations are automatically done by the eye and the brain. Another important point to consider in comparing a camera and the eye is light adjustment. A photograph taken during the daylight with a camera looks clear. A photograph of stars and the sky, taken with the same camera and film at night, however, would look completely black. However, we never have such problems since our eyes are highly skillful. Even when our eyelids open at a speed of 1/10 of a second, we can see the stars with the naked eye. This is because the eye can adjust itself automatically to various conditions of luminance and light intensity. This is done by the muscles surrounding the pupil. In dim light, these muscles relax and allow more light in. In bright light, the muscles contract, causing the pupil to become narrower and thus reducing the amount of light coming in. This way, vision always remains sharp, regardless of whether it is day or night. The reason why we are drawing a comparison between a camera and the eye is only to make the subject more understandable. The truth is that next to the eye, a camera has a quite primitive structure. The technique used by the eye to convey images is far superior to the most advanced cameras. Consequently, the images conveyed by the eye are of much better quality than images conveyed by any man-made equipment. Apart from this, our eyes can perform numerous other operations simultaneously and at an incredible speed. For instance, operations performed by a single cell in the retina in 1/1000th of a second can only be processed by high-tech computers in minutes. At least 100 years would be needed for the most advanced computers to process the complex and interrelated operations performed by more than 10 million cells in the retina in only 1 second. As we have seen, despite technological improvements, electronic equipment is no more than a primitive imitation of the eye and bears no comparison to it. Nobody dares to claim that this electronic equipment came into existence by chance. Surprisingly enough, however, evolutionists readily say that the eye, which is far superior to all such equipment, formed by chance. Conditioned to deny the existence of God, evolutionists go to such great lengths as to unconsciously ignore these obvious signs of creation. If an evolutionist is asked to explain how the superior design and technology in the eye came into existence by chance, he will be unable to offer any logical and rational explanation. Even Darwin felt desperate in the face of the design of the eye. In the 67th page of the book, The Life and Letters of Charles Darwin, we learn that he said, "The eye to this day gives me a cold shudder," in a letter he wrote. He also made the following confession in the chapter called Difficulties on Theory of his book, The Origin of Species. "To suppose that the eye, with all its inimitable contrivances for adjusting the focus to different distances, for admitting different amounts of light, and for the correction of spherical and chromatic aberration, could have been formed by natural selection, seems, I freely confess, absurd in the highest possible degree." Not much has changed since Darwin. Some people known as evolutionists still continue to talk pure nonsense to deny the existence of their own creator. The miracle in the eye is not limited to its anatomical structure. How the process of seeing occurs also bears the touch of an extraordinary creation. Another subject that remains unanswered by evolutionary theory is the excellent quality of perception in the eye. Before passing on to the subject of the eye, let us briefly answer the question of how we see. Light rays coming from an object fall oppositely on the retina of the eye. Here, these light rays are transmitted into electrical signals by cells and reach a tiny spot at the back of the brain called the center of vision. These electrical signals are perceived in this center in the brain as an image after a series of processes. With this technical background, let us do some thinking. One point deserves consideration at this stage. The brain is insulated from light. That means that the inside of the brain is pitch dark, and light does not reach the location where the brain is situated. The center of vision is a dark place where no light ever reaches. It may even be the darkest place you have ever known. However, you observe a luminous, bright world in this pitch darkness. The image formed in the eye is so sharp and distinct that even the technology of the 20th century has not been able to match it. For instance, look at the book you read, the hands you hold it with, then lift your head and look around you. Have you ever seen such a sharp and distinct image as this anywhere else? Even the most developed television screen, produced by the greatest television manufacturer in the world, cannot provide such a sharp image for you. This is a three-dimensional, colored, and extremely sharp image. For more than 100 years, thousands of engineers have been trying to achieve this sharpness. Factories, huge premises were established, much research has been done, and plans and designs have been made for that purpose. Again, look at a TV screen and the book you hold in your hands. You will see that there is a big difference in sharpness and clarity. Moreover, the TV screen shows you a two-dimensional image, whereas with your eyes, you have a three-dimensional perspective with depth. Thanks to today's high technology, engineers have made a three-dimensional television system, but it is not possible to watch it without putting on special glasses. Moreover, it is only an artificial three-dimensional system. The background is more blurred. The foreground looks like a paper setting. It has never been possible to produce such a sharp and distinct vision as that of the eye. There is a loss of image quality in both the camera and television. Yet the flawlessness of the eye is incomparable to any technology man has ever developed. In the face of all these facts, the theory of evolution remains so blind as to claim that such a mechanism capable of producing such sharp and high-quality images was formed by chance. What would one think of someone who says television came into existence as a result of a number of coincidences, and that atoms coincidentally came together to form this piece of equipment? If a device producing a more primitive image than the eye could not have been formed by chance, then it is very evident that the eye and the image seen by the eye could not have been formed by chance either. It requires a much more detailed and wise plan and design than that in the TV. The plan and design of an image as distinct and sharp as this belongs to God, who has power over all things. What falls to man is to be conscious of the precious favors like the eye and other sense organs bestowed on him and strictly avoid ingratitude to his Creator, the bestower of all these favors. This is stressed in the 78th verse of Surat An-Nahl as follows: "And God has brought you out of the wombs of your mothers while you know nothing, and he gave you learning, sight, and heart, that you might give thanks." Surat An-Nahl, 78. This program is based on the book by Harun Yahya, The Miracle in the Eye.